Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empower to Change Blog Talk Radio, where I am your host, Dr. Happy Leah, whatever you call me. Call me a child of God. Amen. I forgot my name. Go figure. Praise God, though. But I'm really grateful that you tuned in. So I'll go over that again in a minute. But I want to just welcome you to Empower to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so if this is your very first time, I guess I need to get it together and remember who I am. Can't introduce myself if I can't remember my name, praise God. But I do want to make sure that I welcome you. Eventually, you'll figure out my name and you'll figure out I'm a child of God in a few moments. But I want to make sure that you tune in and make sure that you're encouraged, that you're educated and empowered to share the information that you will learn on today. So make sure you get a piece of paper and a pen, because I'm sure what you'll learn today, you'll need to write down. So praise God. Welcome, welcome, welcome. For those of you that have been with me for the past 7.5 years, praise God, moving into 8, I am very, very grateful for you. You know who I am, praise God. You know that I am Happy, Dr. Happy, Leah, Minister Happy, whoever, Amy, just a child of God. That's who I am, and you know, because you keep me encouraged, you keep me prayed up, and you keep me pushing and stressing to do more and more and more so that we can have more and more and more of what God would have us to do, so that we can be who he's called us to be. So I thank you for that. I thank you for your texts, for your emails, for your prayers, and everything you do to keep me encouraged and push me to do more and more of what God has for me to do. And then I always thank the Omega Ministry Group, Jesse and Tammy Still. Praise God. Without them, I wouldn't have been able to but they definitely led me to this platform. They led me to the radio platform to be able to share to more people, to be able to have a better audience to share what God has laid on my heart to do. They saw the gift and they wanted to make sure that I had access. And so praise God, not only did they help me get started, but they've continued to be wonderful examples to help me stay focused and help me do the things of God and grow in the things of God. And they don't just help me, but they help many women and men and even children to grow in the fullness of God. And so I will always, always, always be grateful, grateful to them and call their names out, because they're wonderful, wonderful people. Now, the greatest praise that we need to share and give honor and glory to, and that is to God. And so we always, always, always want to make sure that we give God all the honor and all the praise. Because praise God, we don't even realize how much honor and praise we need to give him based on just the mere things that we've experienced in life. We are grateful, true enough, but we have no clue and no idea all the things that God has done, is doing, and will do in our lives to make sure that we fulfill the assignment and the mission and the purpose that he has designed for all of us. So we always, always, always have to give him praise. And so I want to make sure that we always start our broadcast before we go into our lesson, making sure that we give him what he is so rightfully deserving, and that is our praise. So we start in prayer before we go into our lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for being the Most High, the being that everything that we could possibly ever even think we need. But, Father, you know what we need. And so we just say thank you. We thank you for being peace. We thank you for being all in all. We thank you for not only allowing us to know the English names that we can call you, but even the Greek names and the spiritual names. And, Father, we thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, our provider, being our all in all, our Jehovah Shammah, that's everything. And so, Father, even if we didn't have enough tongues, Father, we still could not thank you for everything that you're doing and will do in our lives. And so, Father, we just thank you for all the things that you have provided so that we can live fruitful and blessed lives. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to have your word that gives us the instruction, that gives us the wisdom, that gives us the insight to know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to even have access to you by having the Holy Spirit, by allowing it to guide us and give us what we need to allow us to have power to be able to do the things that we need to do on this side, to have wonderful gifts and talents to be able to use to manifest the blessings that you have for us and want us to give to other people. But more importantly, Father, we thank you. If it hadn't been for the sacrifice of Jesus, we wouldn't have access to you. We wouldn't have the relationship with you. We wouldn't understand the purpose and have the desire and the thirst to want to know you more if it was not for the sacrifice Jesus made and his blood shed for us to even have a relationship with you. And so for that, Father, we say thank you. We thank you, Father, for the love. We thank you for everything that you've done and you're doing in our lives, Father, so that we can be the soldiers, disciples, whatever it is that you've called us to do and to be in this system, and to do it with diligence and a strong desire, because not only do we want to be pleased and pleasing, we want to please you. So, Father, again, use my tongue and use my heart and use my mind to share what you'd have on tonight. It is a topic, Father, that is so necessary in this hour. even for me, Father. So I thank you, Father, as I'm ministering to the people that are on this line, whether it's tonight, next week, next year, whenever they listen, Father. I thank you, Father, that it will bless me, that it will strengthen me and encourage me to want to do more for you. Because, Father, without your power, without your gifts, we couldn't do none of this. And so we just thank you, Father, that we want to do what we're called to do. And we know we need to do it, but sometimes we just don't know how. So, Father, show us by breaking this word and allow us to get the rhema word you desire on tonight. I thank you, Father, for blessing those that are listening on tonight, that they will have an open heart to receive, Father, that it will fall on good ground and that they will apply the skills and the terms that are used on tonight, Father, for you, for your glory and for the betterment of our world. Father, again, we love you, we honor, we adore you, and we thank you, Father, for being the vine and allowing us to be branches and connected to you, because without you, we could do nothing. So we love you, we honor, we adore you. It's in Jesus' name I pray and we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, I think I figured it out now. I am Leah Killing, praise God, and Dr. Happy for some, but I am very happy to be your host on tonight. Thanking God that he has given me this platform to be able to share his word, Father, and to share the word that we all need in this hour to be about the business that he's called us to be. And those of us that are listening that have given our lives to Christ, and praise God, we really have to pay attention and do what God is saying in this hour. And for those of us that don't know Christ, I suggest you get to know him. And I'll let you know a little something that's not difficult. All you have to do is just yield to him and acknowledge the sins in your life. Acknowledge that there is no way that you can control life, that you cannot do anything in your own self, that you need a helper, and he will be your helper. He will redeem you. He will cleanse you. He will make you right. Many times I've witnessed to people, and they're like, I want to do this before I give my life to Christ, as if they could correct something before he comes in. But no, he takes you as you are. So all you have to say is, Lord, I acknowledge you for the sins in my life that I'm currently doing and have done. And I ask for your righteousness to be placed in my heart to allow me to know you for you and who you are, to acknowledge that you are the one and the only Savior, that I yield my life to you, that I will do my best to do whatever you tell me to do, not trying to do things in my own rights, but things that you lay on my heart to do. And because of that, you will lead me somewhere where I can learn more of you and be connected to you so that I will do my best to do everything that you call me to do. So that when you round us up, you can say that I'm a good and faithful servant too. So Father, I thank you for coming into my life and help me to be the soldier you designed for me to be, in Jesus' name. If you just said that simple thing, come into my life and forgive me of my sins, and I acknowledge you, praise God, you have given your life to Christ. And sometimes those of us that have given our lives to Christ, we may need to do some renewing because maybe we have forgotten. And so one of the things that I think that God has really laid on my heart over the past couple of weeks, over the past couple of months, actually, and I didn't really realize it until I kind of summarized where I have been in my bed of affliction, as I call it. And so in my bed of affliction, it's getting really to the point where it's like, Lord, I'm a little frustrated because I don't know how long this is going to last. And many times we question God because we just don't know the answers. And many times when we're on the up and ups in the things of life, we don't care to know because, praise God, everything is going good. It's only when things seem a little hard, things seem a little bit rushed or not, we don't quite have the answers or don't understand, that we take the time to actually listen because we have to. Not because we want to, because we have to. Because we know no other word, no other solutions are going to come, only from him that makes sense. And so it's unfortunate that we get to this place, because we should be at this place, this humble place at all times. But for whatever reason, praise God, when we're up, we're up. And when we're down, now we want to see God. And so my challenge to all of you is that in this hour, we have to treat this hour, this time that we live in. We don't know. And when we say the last days, I think a lot of times we're looking for that dreadful when the Antichrist comes and changes things over. But last days could be your last days on earth. And I think we take that for granted. And today, I think it was really kind of obvious when I turned on the news and saw the shooting in Boulder, Colorado. And people were just going to the grocery store, and one of the men said, I went for a bag of chips and a soda and had to deal with that. And so we never know when our last day will be. And so when our last day comes, we want to make sure not only that we've given our life to Christ, but that we were obedient with the time that he gave us. And I think we take that for granted. We think that, oh, I got time to get it right. I got time to do what he's told me to do. You know that he's laid different assignments and different things on your heart, and you know that you're supposed to fulfill these things, but we take our time because we just believe we have time. I know God gave me a vision, and I haven't seen that vision come to pass, so the automatic assumption is that we have time. I know that, praise God, I've been dealing with my own situation, and because I've seen the vision, because I've seen what God has showed me, I took that for granted as well, that this hasn't happened yet, so I know I still have time. And so that is me taking life for granted. And I had to be reminded in my weeping and in my disgruntled disposition and believing, God, you said you was going to do this and it hadn't happened yet. And so in my, I didn't have a good conversation, let's just say that. But I was honoring. And it's like, Lord, you showed me this. You got to make this happen because this ain't happening. This don't look like this is happening. And the effects of this doesn't seem like this is going to manifest. And so I had to go, I guess, down this journey. And God had to reveal to me, again, I don't remember you putting the sun in the sky. I don't recall you changing the moonlight to sunlight. I don't recall you putting the stars into place. But sometimes we get indignant because we know that we're believing something for God and it hasn't manifested. So we think we can go to him and I don't want to say bully because I know we can't bully him, but we kind of do because we say different things to remind him, which is he already knows. But sometimes those are things that's good. But when we do it, when we're in the wrong spirit, he knows that too. And so because God loves us, many times he will pull us to the side and show us a few things. And then sometimes it's like, okay, you've gone too far. You don't have to come on home. Well, I'm grateful that God has given me an opportunity to pull me aside again. Because praise God, I didn't know if I was close because it seemed like it. And so I was yielding to it because I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore. But God showed me that I have an assignment. I knew I had an assignment. But praise God, that assignment can be passed on or given away. I think about people that have been called into ministry and they're taken away. And it's like, Lord, they had so much to give, but they gave what they were supposed to give because God knows the time and he knows the hour. But praise God, sometimes we think that we know the time and the hour, and we don't. And so in the time that we wait is when we need to keep ourselves built up. And I think sometimes we forget what ministry really is about. And so many of us that give our lives to Christ and give our lives to the study and the development of the church and the body, we get humble. We don't get humble. We get honorary because we think that we know and we don't. And we have to be reminded that we are here for the Lord to help other believers come to the things of God, and that God, when we're faithful to him, he will bless us and help us with our physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. But it's still our responsibility to do our assignment and do what we're called to do and being obedient to him, because he created us not for us to have enjoyment. I mean, it's a benefit, but he created us and gave us assignments of what we're supposed to do on the planet. And so although we may not get around to it right away, or we may get distracted and get delayed, at the end of the day, because God said that his word will never return to him void, you're going to fulfill the assignment that he gave you, whether you do it in enjoyment or you do it disheartened, and then you don't get to see the benefit because you go on home because, praise God, you've done it your way. But his word is going to come back to him. He's going to rejoice from his word. So we have to remember we were created. We were created to give our life to him so that we can have the benefits to do what we need to do. And then we have to acknowledge calling that God has placed on our lives. Now, the callings that God has placed on our lives, many of us know those callings and sometimes we don't. But it's our responsibility to yield to him, and so he will communicate what your calling is. He will give you the gifts that you need And those gifts come with authority and power to make sure that you prepare yourself to do the work of the work of God. But I think sometimes, again, we get sidetracked and we allow ourselves to get distracted because we're having so much fun in the blessings of God that we forget that we are responsible for the assignments of God. And so one of the coolest things that I got a couple weeks ago, a minister was ministering, he was talking about the gifts. And he talked about the gifts, and he talked about them in such a phenomenal way. And the way that he presented them was really, really awesome. But the way that God manifested them for me were even more so, because I realized how much of us weren't really taking access to what those giftings that he was talking about that he gave or that he explained. And so one of the things that he said is that God gave us gifts for us to have, for us to use, and then for us to know who we are. And many times I think we forget who we are. We give our life to Christ and we think, oh, I'm a child of God. And we move on and I'm a disciple, I'm a soldier, and we sing the songs, you know, I'm on the battlefield. But when the battle comes, we don't want to be a soldier anymore. That's where I am. I'm on the front line. It's like, boy, this is hard being on the front. I like being in the back where there were other people maybe falling in front of me, praise God, and I could hide behind them. But being on the front line is hard. And so when you're on the front line, praise God, you got to hold it up for the people in the rear. And God can't have people on the front line that are don't have the right mindset, because the mindset of being on the front line means that you're there to protect the people behind. There are many of us, too many of us, that were doing what I was doing, hiding in the back, and praise God, whatever happens to see the people in the front, amen, because it's not me, because they're going to happen to them before it happens to me. And God is saying, no, many more of us need to move to the front and do what is necessary to protect the ones that are in the back. Where we are lined up in the warfare is, of course, still God's discretion. But if you know where you are, praise God, you have to acknowledge where you are, because there's consequences if you don't do what you're supposed to do wherever you are, quote unquote, in the army, in the battlefield, as a soldier, as a disciple, whatever it is that you are owning, praise God, when the times are good, there are going to have some challenges, because God said the challenges will come. But if we only acknowledge where we are when the things are good, then praise God, when the things are bad, we have to remember that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants to destroy us because he knows that there is promotion when you acknowledge and do your promotion. And even we've talked about that over the past couple of weeks with the maturity versus the infancy. Many of us want to stay in the infancy in the back, you know, where we're protected, where we're guarded, where we can pretend that we don't know how to use our weapons, and stay in the back when many of us need to grow up and learn how to use our tongues to pray, need to use our hands to lay hands on the sick and to do the things that are necessary to set captives free. But we don't want to do our homework. And when we don't do that, then people are being slaughtered, and they're being slaughtered. And when we see them being slaughtered and we know we were supposed to be in position, we're going to be held accountable for that because we were supposed to be on the front line. And so even through the pandemic and all the things that are going on in our world, many of that is on the hands of many of the saints because we haven't been praying like we need to. We haven't been standing charged at the door and doing the things that we're supposed to do to make sure that the enemy doesn't come through, that his line doesn't invade. And he's invading because we are not doing our part. Many of us want to stay in infancy or stay on the back lines and watch the people on the front line die, praise God, because we don't have the empathy or whatever it is to make sure that we're doing what God has called us to do. And one of the things that I learned in the Master Life series was the scripture, laying down my life for a friend. And I thought, I don't know if I can do that, Lord. But the more I studied and the more I understood I could do that because of giftings that God could give me to help me stand on the line. But somewhere I got distracted. Maybe I stopped reading, maybe I stopped praying that, and I got comfortable being in the midst where I didn't have to be on the line. When you're on the line, you have to always be watching. You always have to be vigilant and be sober-minded and watch. And I got weak. And I wanted to go in the back. I was wounded. I know I've watched several war movies where people have been wounded, and they're like, no, I don't want to go in. I want to stay on the line. I want to stay on the line. And I looked at those movies like, really? You got shot, and you still want to stay in the front? What are you better for. No, go get healed and chill out for a minute. But praise God, I understand that when it comes to the things of God. But actually doing them, amen, that's a whole nother monkey when you're actually placed in that position. And so you have to make a decision. For the Lord I'll live, or for the Lord I'll die. But praise God, that comes on the flip side too. I can live for God but not do the things for God. And then I could die for God but not really take advantage of the things I was supposed to do before I die. And so when we talk about we want to be upstanding, powerful Christians, one of the things that I studied, I was laughing because I've heard many people say that I'm baptized in the name of Jesus in water and with fire and all the things that goes with that. But like I said, as soon as the weapons come, then we forget and we want to retreat. And so tonight I believe that God is really wanting us to understand, especially now that we are in a world spin where I wrote these notes of what the people were saying on the news and how we're living in a system where we just, nothing is predictable anymore. How people can go to the grocery store and be shot down or gunned down. People go to school, be shot and gunned down. On their job, shot and gunned down. Just in the Capitol, in the U.S. Capitol, gunned down, shot down. So we've taken for our covering for granted. And so now we have to be watchful. And if you're not watchful, praise God, amen, where will you find yourself? And so the coolest thing that I love about God is that if we're in tune to him, he gives us his ear. And if he gives us his ear, and we talked about that not long ago, about our communication, why it's important for us to hear more than we speak, because if we keep talking, we can't hear God. But if we're quiet, he will tell us, don't go there today. Don't leave. Sit down. Drive fast. Walk slow. Sit down. You'll hear his voice. Pray. You know, pray with others. Call somebody and pray and be in agreement. We do those things. We were laughing. I was talking to a good two friends of mine about Passover and how we're sure many people were running down the street, put the blood on your door. And we were laughing because I was like, I'm not doing that. That's nasty. Flies are come. What would we do that for? And how many people didn't heed to the warning of putting the blood on the door because they didn't understand it. And so, but when the angel came and their firstborns died, then they wanted to cry out to the Father, but he gave instructions. But because they weren't in tune to the voice of God, they didn't recognize who was telling them to put the blood. It may have been boo-boo in them that said it, but if they had had their eyes open and their ears open to God, they would have known that he was being used by the voice of God and been obedient. And then some of them could have just done it just out of doing it. And one of my girlfriends said, you know, she knows people that put red cloth over the door for the pandemic because she just wanted to be safe that the pandemic went. And so sometimes we think things are far-fetched, but we don't know if she heard that from God or not. So whatever, if you're open and your ears are in tune to the things of God, you can be protected by things that we have no clue of because many of us are not listening. And so when like I said, this minister was talking about the gifts, and he was talking about why the gifts were given. And I love the fact that he said that the gifts were given for us to be able to use in this system. But when I studied and studied a little further, it was we were given these gifts not only to be able to do what God has called us to do, but to give us power and authority to do while we're doing them. And because all of us have an assignment, all of us have been given a gift, some of us given more, but praise God, nevertheless, all of us have gifts. Whether we use them or not is to our discretion. And that's the unfortunate thing, is that if you don't know you have it, then how will you use it? And if you don't know, if you know that you have it and don't use it, how will you ever perfect it? I was watching a movie today, and they were saying how you may understand, you may have a gift, but if you don't understand it, then you really don't appreciate it. And so when you learn your gifts, there's many tests and different questionnaires that you can learn online. And of course, all you have to do is pray. But nevertheless, because some of them can be a little difficult because they're kind of hard to determine, and we'll talk about them in a second. But it can give you a more detailed understanding of what gifts that you have been assigned, what gifts that you have access to, and then how to use them when you have the access. Now, not all gifts, praise God, are at our disposal. They are at the disposal of the Holy Spirit and to use them as his will. But because we have so many people that are teaching incorrectly, many of us say that we have certain gifts and we really don't necessarily have them. We brag and boast about things that we have that is the total discretion of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible is clear when it explicitly says which gifts are those that we have from birth and those that we use because of the will of the Spirit. And so it was interesting today. My daughter is studying science, and they were talking about how some animals inhibit certain traits, and then some they kind of pick up. And so one of the things was, the question was, I can't remember what animal it was, but bark when danger came. Was that something that was inherited or something that they picked up? And, of course, barking, we'll just say the dog, that is something that they do. They do that on a regular basis. They were born with that. And so whether they learn how to do it late or early or whenever they learn it in life, they have access to it because that's part of what they were born with. But now for a human, we can bark. Oh, that's not something we were born with. We have to learn how to do that. And then why would we do that? But based on whatever situation, but that's still something that we've been taught to do. And it's the same thing with gifts. We are born with certain things, and then some things we just inherit because either God needs for us to do it at that particular time, or we pick up along the way and God allows us to be blessed in that area. But again, it's how he sees fit. But nevertheless, you got to know what it is. And so the wonderful thing that I learned at my church was they had a spiritual gift class. We kind of went through when we went through new members, and they kind of gave you this test and you answered these questions. And so I kind of knew that I was a teacher because I'd been teaching forever. So, and I knew teaching was part of giftings or whatever, but I didn't quite understand it to its fullest capacity, but I kind of knew. And so when I went through all these other gifts were outlined, and I said, oh, wow, I can kind of see where I've done some of these things over the years, blah, 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 blah. But it wasn't until I studied those giftings that those giftings became more clear, that I was able to ask them a lot more often, and then I had to do what was necessary to be able to access those gifts. So now many times, many of us think that we have gifts because we can sing. And so if you don't polish, I think it's Mariah. She drinks all this water before she sings, and she goes through this whole ritual before she sings because she's making sure that she treats her throat right. And I'm sure other artists do that too. But it's knowing how to manage and to manifest your gifts. You take care and do what's necessary. It's the same thing in the spirit, but it's confusing why we don't do our giftings in the spirit the same way we do some of the things that we take pride in that we know that we have. So to give an example, a race car driver. So I know if I'm about to race, I'm going to go around the track a few more times. I'm going to make sure that I know the features of my vehicle so that I'm comfortable with shifting gears and doing all the things that I need to do when I'm about to do the race. I might even go to court and do the track a couple of times just so I know when the curves are. And why? Because I want to perfect and have a better understanding and knowledge of what I'm about to do. But when it comes to spiritual things, you have the spirit of wisdom. Well, okay. Amen. I can think things quick on my feet, or when stuff happens, I'll just know. But what does it mean? Did I look it up? Do I know what God says about wisdom? Is it earthly wisdom? Is it spiritual wisdom? Is it different? Is it the same? What about speaking in tongues? Do I really understand what that means? Speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, different tongues, same tongues, are they the same? Do I speak the same? How do I know? But if I'm blessed with that, did I study it? So can I explain it to somebody? How would you know unless you study and to show yourself approved? That's why I love, 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 love the word, because it tells us to study to show ourselves approved. And that the word was God-breathed, so you know if it's God-breathed and it's for our correction, for our reproof, for our teaching, for our training, why wouldn't you study it? But we don't. So praise God. We're moving forward. We need to. Why? Because it's important. It's important for us to mature and to be stable and then to understand why we need to operate in these gifts. We are living in a time where the enemy is growing and his body of believers, because he has them, are growing. And the more they pray, the funniest thing, even on the last Bible study I was on, they were talking about the difference between options and choices. and how we were kind of, well, not we, but some of them were kind of confused with the difference, and how when Jesus, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, they didn't have an option. It was don't eat the fruit of the tree. And the lady said, no. They had options because he's given us the spirit of choice, and we can make the right decision or the wrong decision. And what she missed, what he was trying to say, is that they didn't have options because they didn't know they had no other option. Everything they had was perfect. They didn't know they needed to do anything different. It wasn't until sin came in, and when they ate of the tree and they realized who they were, that they knew then they had a choice, because it was just whatever God said, period. There was no other choices to make because it was what God said. So when we allow sin, when we allow distractions to come in, then we do have a choice, because we have to make the decision. Am I going to do what God said? I'm going to do what I want to do now because my eyes have been open, or I've been exposed to whatever this new thing has been placed into me. So now you have a choice. Are you going to do what God told you to do and not have an option because he gave you a gift? All of us have gifts from birth. Before we were in our mother's womb, he gave us a gift. Are you going to be obedient to that gift? Even if you don't know it, ask him, he reveal it to you. John 15, 5 says, five's my favorite. If you remain in me and if I remain in you and your words remain in me, ask whatever you wish and it will be granted. Ask him what your gift is. Praise God, you've had it since birth. Some of us know it and just don't recognize that it's a gift because we don't read the Bible enough to know what the giftings are that we're operating it, because, praise God, it comes with ease because you have them. Praise God. We're going to talk about them in a second. But praise God, once you know what you have, then educate yourself so that you can use them according to the will of God. So when the distraction comes, praise God, because we've already had sin in our life, so we have to make a choice. I'm either going to do what God says or do what the enemy says. And I promise you, if you use the gifting that God has given, it's for the benefit of whoever God is having you do the benefit for. Sometimes it benefits us if we get the benefit, but most times it's for someone else, because God has given all these gifts and talents and then putting, you know, the anointing on it to make it even supernatural. It's for us to yield and to teach people to come back to him. And so if we don't really get that, there's going to be more people that are going to be lost. Those people that lost their lives at the supermarket today, did they know God? Did somebody minister to them? Did they have an opportunity, or did we just sleep on our gifts and not share what God has called us? If we know our gifts and we use our gifts, we will understand the power and authority that we have with those gifts. And then, praise God, once you understand them, you'll want to use them because you want to please the things of God. And so one of the things that I think that we need to kind of start out is that the gifts come from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, he is still God. And sometimes we forget that we sometimes separate them and make them three different things, but it is one entity. It's a Trinity, but it's one. It is God, praise God, God, the Father. And then it's Jesus in the flesh of man, this body that he came. And then the Spirit that he allowed himself to be placed in the world system so that we could keep him after Jesus left. Amen. And so about having the Holy Spirit, then we have to understand that there's characteristics of the Holy Spirit. And so some people call them characteristics. Some people call them attributes. Some call them ministries. But nevertheless, they're still manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And one way that we understand that the Holy Spirit comes upon us is the scripture Peter actually ministered that at the Pentecost sermons, and that Jesus gave us that if for us to have, I'm sorry, I'm going too fast, we have to repent, and then everyone be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to be filled and led by the Spirit of God. And it doesn't require any great work on our part. So that means you are given a gift, praise God, and that gift is activated. One sign that you have been, that you received the Holy Spirit is through, one sign of the Holy Spirit is present through the fruit of the Spirit. And so we're going to talk about that in a second to identify what those are first and foremost, and then talk about the fruit, and then talk about how that manifests in us with our gifting. So the gift of the Holy Spirit, some people call them virtues, is wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, piety, the fear of the Lord, and fortitude. These are granted to Christians at baptism, and most likely, again, based on different doctrines, they're given at different times. But what the Bible says is when you give your life to Christ, you are given, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, some people believe in the baptism, and we'll talk about that in a second, but praise God, when you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit is part of you, praise God. That's what Jesus promised. And then the actions of the Holy Spirit are the fruit of the Spirit. And so that's how you see the evidence that the Holy Spirit resides in you. Now, praise God, these are one character, but they're separated. And so sometimes people try to develop these differently. But if you're in the will of God, all of these should be a characteristic that represents that the Holy Spirit resides in you. And that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then, of course, when we operate in these characteristics of the Holy Spirit, then we can operate in wisdom and understanding all those things that God needs as he sees fit. But now we should be developing ourselves so that the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, which is the gift, are showing through our walk. And if we're not, then praise God, our fruit. That's why they say, your fruit, I watch you by your fruit. And so if I don't see the Holy Spirit reside, it's represented through your fruit. And so when we talk about people being baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's three different times based on denominations or however you serve. But, amen, the Bible is clear. But it says water, spirit, and fire. And so John the Baptist kind of explains that. And it says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up from the water. And at that moment, the heavens was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And the voice of heaven said, this is my Son who I'm loved. With him I am well pleased. And so when we accept Jesus' death on the cross and his atonement for sin, we accept God's grace. And so because of that, we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, some people believe baptism is immersion of water, and that is. And that's a little different from what we're talking about here, talking about the Holy Spirit. But the water immersion baptism, that's a little different. But we'll talk about that maybe next week. But we're talking about the Holy Spirit and how people say that I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit with water and with fire. That's basically what they're saying. But nevertheless, we want to make sure that we have the Holy Spirit. And we have the Holy Spirit by acknowledging that we have these gifts. Now, when you give your life to Christ, like I said, you're given the Holy Spirit. You may not recognize these gifts that I'm going to say immediately, but you were given them because God knew what we were going to be before we were born. So he gave us the gifts that we needed, and they just need to be activated when we yield to him. When we yield to him, we repent of our sins. He delivers us. We were born again. When we're born again, the Holy Spirit comes, and praise God, our gifts are activated. And so Romans 12, 6 through 8 says, we are given different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encourage, then encourage. Give encouragement. If it's given, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, praise God. These are the gifts that we were given when we were born. Whichever one, you have to seek God. It's either to prophesy, to teach, to serve, to encourage, to give, to lead, to show mercy. These are gifts that are given without repentance. Praise God. These are gifts that God gave when we were born. Praise God. Know which one you have and then study, and then you'll understand. And you'll get a little clearer as I go on. Now, Jesus gave gifts, and that's in Ephesians 4 through 11. And it says, but to each of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed, a proportion. This is why it says, he ascended on high and took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascend mean? Except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. Who he descended is everyone who has ascended higher than all of the heavens in order to fulfill or to fill the whole universe. So Christ gave himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Praise God. Some of these gifts, praise God. Amen. You have the office, and then you have the gift. But praise God, these are giftings by Christ. So these aren't necessarily gifts that you automatically know that you've been born with. These you have to study, and then they'll be activated, and God will reveal those to you. And then, praise God, these other gifts, and there's others, but praise God, for the sake of time, we're going to deal with these. 1 Corinthians 12:4-11 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of services, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of work, but in all of men and in everyone is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there was given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, through another, knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by that Spirit, to another, miraculous gifts, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguish between spirits, another, to speak in different types of tongues, and to still another, the interpreter of tongues. All of these gifts work in one of the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. And I think this is the part that many of us forget, verse 11. All of these are the work of one Spirit, and the same Spirit, He distributes them to each one as He determines. Now, the scriptures that those gifts that we have, going back to Romans 12:6-8, I know for certain that I have the gift of teaching. From the time I was a little girl all the way to now, I know that that's what God gave me for certain. And so I've been operating that, whether I understood God or not. That was something that I had that I didn't even know why. I came easy to me. That was because that was a gift that God had given me because He loved me. I also understand that I have a gift of encouragement, but I didn't quite understand it until I had to learn about it. But the more I studied and the more I have understanding, I have a better understanding. So now those gifts are without repentance because they don't go away. I can't sin. I cannot sin to not have these gifts because they're without repentance. So you have to find out what your giftings are. The scripture from Ephesians 4:11, these are the gifts that Jesus gave. And so, again, I didn't quite understand. I knew I was a teacher, so I thought, oh, well, I'm a teacher, amen. That's a separate gifting that Jesus left. And then I also learned after studying and then was activated that I was an apostle. And so an apostle, praise God, gave me the opportunity to have access to these gifts. But praise God, He gave me this assignment. And then as far as the scriptures for me to use, there's quite a few of these that I use on a regular basis. But for me to say that I have them, I can't say that because it's only based on the will of God. And so if you had a piece of paper, I would tell you, as I do my students, to write down, I have, I am, I use. And then you say, write down under I have the giftings that are from Romans 12:6-8. And those are the ones you have to seek God to figure out which ones you have. But like I said, you write down, I have Romans 12:6-8, whatever those giftings that God lists. And then praise God, like I said, this is not an exhaustive list, but these are the ones you're born with, and those you have to seek God, but He has given us all gifts. And then praise God, I've been the next chart, or the next line, it would be I have. And then you write next to it another column, I am. And then these would be the gifts that Jesus gave, the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, or the teacher. And that's Ephesians 4:7-11. And these you see God for because, praise God, you just can't make yourself one of these, but God will reveal that to you. But once He gives you that assignment, then that's without repentance because they can't leave you. Praise God. And then the next column you put, so there's three columns, I have, I am, I use. And then these are the scriptures, the giftings that are in scripture, 1 Corinthians 12:4-11. And again, we have to be mindful that these scriptures are at the will of the Spirit. And so most times these scriptures, these gifts are based on where you are in your walk. God wants us to come to him in knowledge and not in ignorance. So if you're not knowledgeable in these gifts, now again, the Spirit can do whatever he wants to do because God is God. But most often, these gifts are only given when you're understanding and you have a level of understanding because, amen, he uses these to make him known, make himself known. And so when just for an example, many times when we see people speak in tongues, most times we're in church. And so at that time, it's like there's a move of God. And so he's showing himself to be real because, of course, if he is actually allowing that spirit to manifest, then someone will understand that tongue. And so then you know the power of God is in the room. When we're laying hands to heal people, that is not for us to be glorified. That is for God to be glorified. So God will allow the spirit of healing to lay on that person, whatever that is open and has an understanding, to make sure that God gets the credit of laying healing hands on that person because we're doing it in the will of God. So now I've seen quite a few people tell people, I have healing hands. Amen. They're only healing hands in the will of God. When we make the mistake and tell people that we have healing hands and we ask them to pray for us and lay hands on us because we're expecting to recover and it doesn't happen, then what? Are they looking at you or are they looking at God? Because, again, we have no power for these giftings. God, the Holy Spirit, wills them to us based on where we are. And the one thing that I think that I love the most and that I want you all to understand, because I don't want you to take my word for it, I want you to study for yourself. Because one of the things that I know and love about is that he doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants us to study to show ourselves improved. So teaching is so important. Without it, we won't understand the depth of whatever the word says, but let alone the giftings that he gives. And so it is so important that you study to understand, have a definition and be able to identify what your giftings are. Now, again, the Holy Spirit, the attributes and countenance is wisdom. So you ask God, God, give me a spirit of wisdom so that I can understand what's going on in the not necessarily in the earthly realm. We want to have wisdom in the earthly realm, but we want to know God's wisdom so that we can have a better understanding, so that we can do the things that he's created us to do and then be able to operate so that he gets the credit and gets the glory. And then if you don't necessarily, we all should want some wisdom, but more importantly, we should ask God for understanding so that the Holy Spirit can give us understanding. Lord, I don't quite understand my gift. I don't quite understand why gifting is necessary, why I need to operate it. And then he can allow the Holy Spirit to open up your understanding so that you can grasp what it is that you need so that you can operate in his truth. And then, praise God, the other attribute was counsel. What is counsel? Counsel is pretty much prudence. It's basically given us the ability to be able to not fear, to be able to stand up for the truth, to know that we're governing our bodies and being disciplined to learn and to use good judgment and resources according to the things of God. Or then ask God for fortitude, that strength and courage. That time I was talking about laying down your life for a brother, who can really do that? You can't do that in your natural. But if the Spirit of God is on you, he can give you a spirit of fortitude, and then you can lay your life down for your brother. It gives you the strength of mind and courage and body to be able to do what God has called you to do. And then, praise God, the next one is knowledge. And so to me, I was thinking, well, Lord, if knowledge and wisdom seem kind of the same, but it's different because knowledge gives you the power to use wisdom, of course, but it also allows you to see circumstances the way God sees them. Many times we have understanding, but we don't necessarily understand how God understands it. And so many times me going through this walk of healing, like, Lord, I don't understand. I need understanding. And so he had to help me with my knowledge of understanding that I don't run nothing, that I have to do what he says do, and that he eventually may or may not show me, but I will have an understanding better by and by. But just be faithful to him. I yield to the Holy Spirit, the knowledge. And then there's piety, the willingness to serve, to be able to be diligent and dutifully serve. I know that there's people like I thought about nuns or priests that give their lives completely to the things of God. They don't do worldly things. They don't, they're part of the world system. They're only there to serve the church, only there to serve God. That's piety. And then, of course, fear of the Lord. And now, fear of the Lord, many of us are afraid. Like, see, I wouldn't be having no discussion with God because I'm fearing the Lord. This is different. The fear in the Lord comes out of an abundance of love, that we serve God not just because we have to, but we do it because we want to, we desire to. And then that's not even the same of me wanting to do the broadcast every Monday night. And, you know, I do that because I love God and I have a sense of duty. But that's different from the fear of God of this. This is no matter what, hook or crook, I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to be about his business no matter what the situation is. I never give an option for me to question whatever it is that God would have me to do. Now, what was the purpose in doing all this is because it is time for us to operate in our gifts. We've been talking about over the past couple of weeks why we have been in infancy for so long and why we need to operate in maturity. When we operate in maturity, then that means we're going to use the gifts that God has given, because the gifts that he has given operate in power and authority. When we say we want to do and be like Jesus, Jesus allowed the Holy Spirit to manifest in him so that he could do what was necessary in the world's atmosphere. And so in order for us to do what we need to do, we need to have access to this power. And yes, we have the Holy Spirit when we've given our lives to Christ. But if we don't understand it and we're not using it, and then we're not even using the gifts that we were born with, how do we have the power and authority that we need when the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy? People are dying, and it is time for us to step up, to use our weapons, to use our giftings the way that God designed, so that we can make sure that we're about God's business. Now, next week, we're going to talk a little bit more in depth of why we need to use these gifts and talk a little bit about each gift, because I know I kind of went through them. But praise God, the scriptures that you need to go to have a better understanding, again, of the Holy Spirit is 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. And then understanding the gifts that you have is Romans 12:6-8. The gifts that Jesus gave is Ephesians 4:3-11. And then the gifts that God has given us access to use when we're in right fellowship with him is 1 Corinthians 12:4-11. Or like I said, he'll use it with however he wants. But praise God. Nevertheless, don't allow the enemy to give you options to make you think that you don't have to. You have a gift, and they need to be used because the body needs us more now than ever. I know that I'm not out of talk, but I am way out of time. And so praise God. I pray that you take the time to study, to find your giftings and use it. And I pray that you tune in next week where we talk a little bit more about our giftings and why it's important for us to use them. This is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And I pray that you have been encouraged, that you have been educated, and that you will not just keep this information to yourself, that you will share it, or that you'll learn it and use it and then share it so they can learn it and use it as well. I know I always close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song, because every praise belongs to God, and it does. And I give her a little shout out of praise because I know she's always listening, because she's my favorite listener. Praise God. And so again, I'm out of time, but I'm not out of talk, but I got to stop. And so praise God. Always, always, always start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day and end your day with prayer. Pray for us all. Pray for the people in Colorado. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me hear the-